with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house, or brothers or sisters, or mother or father, or children or lands, for my sake and the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters, and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we have the continuation of yesterday's shocking scene when this young man who kept the commandments from his youth runs up to Jesus asking the way to heaven. And Jesus tells him to keep the commandments. And then he recognizes that the man whom he looked at interiorly with love knew that he was lacking something, that just merely keeping the commandments wasn't enough to satisfy the longings of his heart. So he made it very explicit. If you wish to be perfect, if you wish to have it all, go give your life away. Give your possessions away. Detach yourself from the things that you have accumulated. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And that young man went away sad because he was more attached to his stuff than he really was to God. He wanted to have both, but Jesus had stressed elsewhere that we cannot serve both God and mammon, we have to make the choice. And then Jesus twice insisted that it is easier for a camel to do the impossible and fit through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. The more possessions we've accumulated over the course of the life, the more impossible it is really to follow the Lord on that path to perfection. Not because the riches themselves are evil, but it's because they begin to own us rather than our owning them. And the disciples, St. Mark tells us, were exceedingly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, even though he stressed that it was possible for God, but was impossible for man, the question was reverberating. Who can be saved? And hence Peter, with great courage, as is characteristic of him, speaks on behalf of all of the apostles and says, "We've given up everything to follow you." St. Matthew's version, "What will there be for us?" And it's true, they had. See, Peter knew he had left his biggest catch of fish in his life to follow Jesus' star team immediately. That he had left his company, that he had left his home, that he had left his mother-in-law, that he had left his hometown, that he had left all that he knew to follow the Lord. And it wasn't just Peter who had done it. Andrew had done it. James had done it. John had done it. Matthew had left all his finances behind there at the tax collecting table. They left their families. They left everything. And now they were beginning to wonder whether it was worth it. They had anticipated that there would be a reward for the enormous cost they had paid. In their own elementary understanding at the time, they thought that they were going to be cabinet secretaries in the messianic administration Jesus was going to establish. That they would receive a lot, but now it was seeming, if we're talking about impossibilities and camels fitting through the eyes of the needle, is it really going to be worth it, Jesus? Peter asked. We've given up everything and followed you. So Jesus reassured them. It's words on which we need to ponder over and over and over and over again. Not that we do anything for the reward, for the payoff. Not that we do anything just out of personal aggrandizement in the faith. No, we do it in response to the love of the Lord that we have first received. Our entire life is a free, I love you too. And if Jesus is going to give himself to us down to the last drop of his blood, then as we sing throughout Lent, love so amazing, love so divine, demands our life, our soul, our all. We do it out of love for him. But at the same time, it is important for us to strengthen ourselves against those temptations that will always come from below, that we ponder every once in a while, that the Lord will reward us for that loving choice. So Jesus, to reassure them and throughout the centuries, to reassure all of us who have left so much to follow him, he says, swearing an oath, Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for me, for the gospel, who will not receive three things. First, 100 times more now in this present age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. Jesus promised and it's not less for giving us up, but more. We're going to have a much bigger family. That for us who are spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, that we're going to have far more people to love, not fewer. And also who love us and look to us and depend on us, not fewer. Even lands and property, because ultimately the whole world will be ours. Because it's the meek who will inherit the earth. We need to stop and ponder this. You know, a lot of the times we can feel empty, as if it's not really there. I remember once being in Costa Rica, preaching or teaching a course in the theology of the body to the missionaries of charity throughout Central America. They were of a certain age. And when people get to a certain age, about 20 years older than the average age here, they were beginning to sort of question, and it's a time in which they can feel the absence of children a little bit more poignantly. And I focused, the first reading was on Abraham and how Abraham would become the father not just of a son, not just the father of a nation, but the father of many nations. Now, Jesus essentially promises us 100 times more for what we've given up. But just like Abraham had to look up into the blue sky and count the stars, which he couldn't see but knew he was there, so God calls us to look up into the heavens, to recognize that we will be so much more than Abraham and Sarah. We might not experience it tangibly yet, but it's true. And God wants us to know that and to stake our life on that reward, because he who is truth will not deceive. We receive 100 times more in this life. So it's important for us to count those blessings. It's not going to be in the way that the world necessarily looks at it. They might not acknowledge the relationship of spiritual paternity and spiritual maternity and see that in some ways it's even more real. To be a biological father or a biological mother is relatively straightforward. To be a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad requires the cooperation with grace. And it's so much more important to raise a soul than to just feed a mouth, as important as the latter is. Likewise, to recognize the familial nature of what we've been called to, we haven't merely left families of origin, but we've entered into a much bigger family, and for that we need to make it ever more familial. but at the same time to recognize that a lot of the times Jesus doesn't call us to leave forever those goods, those great gifts he has given us in the past. But he wants all of those relationships transformed. Just like, for example, a wife begins to take her responsibility toward God more seriously and prioritizes him through prayer, through acts of charity, doesn't love her husband less, but actually through that loves him more. Or a priest who leaves his family behind in order to serve the Lord. It's not that he is loving his family of origin less, but he's actually able to love them more. The greatest act of charity that we can give to our family who gave us the gift of life and so many other blessings is precisely what we're doing here. We're praying for them, but not just praying for them. The greatest way to give our parents honor, to keep the fourth commandment, is by really following Jesus along the path to sanctity. The honor may not come in this world, but the honor will come forever. And so many parents who have sacrificed children for the sake of the kingdom and allowed their children to build up children of God rather than children carrying on their family name, they are the ones who will hear the Lord forever say, "Is that your little girl? Is that your son? Thank you." 104-fold more in this life, Jesus promises, and his word is good. Second thing, Jesus swears an oath that we will receive if we leave everything behind to follow him is persecutions. That might not seem like a blessing, but he's saying it is a payoff. It's a gift. For if they hate him, they'll hate us because of precisely the commitment that we've made. That if they persecuted him, they will persecute us. But as Jesus emphasized in the last of the Beatitudes, blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted and hated by all because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. It's precisely through those persecutions that the reward Jesus promises increases. Because it makes us more capable of uniting ourselves to him who is that treasure. As we always stress, it's easy to follow Jesus when everybody praises us for it. It's really hard when we have to suffer for it. But it's through that suffering that we really deeply grow in faith. Jesus promises the persecutions as a blessing. It's a means not only by which we grow in our discipleship and our adhesion to him from the inside out, but also the greatest means by which we do our apostolate, that we're able to show everybody else this witness that Jesus is worth dying for and living for. And that's what can provoke them to faith. Today, as I announced at the beginning of the Mass, the Church prays for the Christians in China through the intercession of Our Lady of Good Counsel. And we know how much the Chinese have suffered and continue to suffer for the faith. But what an inspiring example it is for the entire Church. The priests and the bishops and the lay people who just simply won't sign up with a communist pseudo-church in order to remain faithful to the Holy Father. At a time where so many across the world nitpick the Holy Father to death and think that they know better than the successor of St. Peter on sundry issues. People are in jail for their loving union with the successor of St. Peter. What an incredible witness of faith that is. Tortured. Starved. Forgotten by many. Calls us all to live our life in freedom in a different way. their persecution is an incredible apostolate. And it's one in which, when all of this is over, we will see how it made them great and how it was not a curse but a caress, an incredible gift to the Lord. Likewise, our own sufferings, likewise, the daily contradictions we confront, likewise, the pains we have out of real love for others who make wrong calls. They're all a means by which we grow in our adhesion to the Lord, and we witness to true love of Him. The third thing Jesus promises is eternal life in the age to come. Rich young man had come on up asking about this. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? It is that question. Peter asks, what's in it for us? And Jesus ultimately says, you will pass through the eye of the needle. Let go of the stuff here. Accept these persecutions. This is the way God will make possible what is impossible for you. You will inherit it all. Don't be afraid. Keep going forward. Continue to think about this eternal prize. Let it inspire you at that time in which the devil's trying to get you to doubt. I remember one of the stories from the great litany of Japanese martyrs, in which a mother said to her young child, both of whom were about to be martyred, "Don't worry, honey. In just a few minutes, we will not only see each other, but we will see Jesus and all the saints." It's that vision of what's coming, that hope and the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus makes, that can sustain us no matter what. Jesus promises us this triple gift, so much more in life, persecutions, and heaven. Peter and the apostles took the deal. And we're showing the whole world that that deal is still being offered and is worth it. St. Peter, as you know, as we focused yesterday in this first reading, so eloquent, was pouring out his heart to the first Christians who had just entered into the age of persecution. And so in St. Peter, who was already receiving so much, was going to strengthen their faith by helping them to focus on this promise of the Lord. So he says, concerning the salvation of your souls, concerning eternal life, heaven, etc. The prophets, all the way stretching backward, prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, searched and investigated in the time and the circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated. We're talking about inspiration. When it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories to follow them. Yes, there would be persecutions, but glories would follow. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves by saying this, but you, with regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. It was all being fulfilled right now as we were entering into Christ's suffering so that we could enter into Christ's glory. Saying, vale la pena. It's all worth it. The pain is worth it. So then he gives three great verbs at the end about how we're supposed to respond to this promise. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Very expressive phrase. What does it mean to gird the loins? I imagine you do it a little bit whenever you play sports. But when you had a long tunic, you needed to tie it up so that you weren't tripping. So there was a whole art form of tying up the tunic within the belt so that they could move so much faster, so that they'd be agile. He's calling us to gird up the loins of our mind, disencumber it from everything that can slow us down. Keep your focus on the truth. As we celebrate Our Lady of Good Counsel, follow the counsel given to us by God. Focus. Live soberly, he says. Which doesn't mean not merely don't get smashed. It means live modestly. Don't get caught up in all of these things that will prevent you from going through the eye of the needle. Live abstemiously. Live with a spirit of poverty. And set your hopes completely, 100%, on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Long for the fulfillment of Jesus' words. Set your hopes, not just a little bit, not just more, but completely, on this grace that we will receive at Jesus' full revelation. What will we receive for leaving everything behind in order to follow Jesus? The grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus. Revelation of Jesus in others, 100-fold in this world. The revelation of Jesus in his sufferings, by which he calls us to himself to be his bride on the cross. The revelation of Jesus, who is eternal life, smiling on us forever. And the way we prepare to gird the loins of our minds is here with the Word of God. The way we receive the strength to live soberly and set our hopes completely on God is here at Mass. This is the means by which we sacrifice everything for this pearl of great price. This is the means by which we grow in our longing for the fulfillment of the communion we now receive. Our Lady of Good Counsel, help us along this way, and in a special way, help our persecuted brothers and sisters in China. Amen.